It's time for the most important part of the show, perhaps, which is why we call it The Most.
Where's Ian? He's running into the studio.
We have Ian, we have Matt, we have Trish, Rachel.
I think Trish went to get her little girl, who's actually going to hear for a later pre-tape, so we might not have Trish. Let's start with Ian.
Okay, so I went on the Daily News site, and there's a little thing that says, you know, most emailed stories at the bottom. Number 8 or 9, it just says, they're tiny, evil, and everywhere in the city. It's actually not as bad as that sounded. It's,
my cousins are here?
Really? There's a bed bug epidemic.
Really?
Yeah. In 2004, there were 537 calls about bed bugs. This year, 6,889.
Oh.
One exterminator says, I've treated maternity wards, 5-star hotels, movie theaters, taxi garages, investment banks, white shoe law firms, Brooklyn apartments in Greenpoint, Dumbo, and Cobble Hill. Not where I live.
Cobble Hill.
Good Lord. And the chambers of a federal judge.
Yeah, they don't discriminate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those bed bugs are the federal judges.
They do not discriminate. Yeah. It's rough stuff out there. They're making a comeback. And mostly the chemicals they use to get rid of bed bugs, you can't use anymore. They use nasty stuff.
Napalm?
Yeah, no, DDT. They use bad stuff to get rid of bed bugs.
That's the good old days.
And so how are you going to get rid of them now? I'm sure there are ways, but it's not easy. These things can live far away from you, and then they crawl in, and they bite you, and then they run away. I'm just saying.
And you know, the
you
other
gotta
thing
watch out for these things
about them living far away from you, there's all these things in the story where it sounds like somebody's writing horror, but it's just journalism. Phrases like, they can survive for a year and a half without a blood meal, which is really gross. They come out of the woodwork at night to feed on human blood. But that's just kind of what they do.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
That's where they roll.
Believable. Yeah. There's been a lot of ooky stuff on the show this week. Yeah. Matt, can you take us to a happier place?
I can take you a very happy place. Google Trends, which pretty much tracks what people are searching for on the web. Every Friday, this is what happens. You have the basically what happened on last night's episode of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Because everybody can't answer the questions. They're all embarrassed.
Yes, everybody's like Googling all of the questions. And so here are the top 5 Google trends today. Number 5, Mayan civilization. Number 4, capital of Michigan. And by the way, most of the Google trends are usually like Heath Ledger, Lindsay Lohan, you know, or something like that. Okay, number 3, grapes of wrath. Oh, by the way, do you know what the capital of Michigan is? Anybody?
Michigan?
Oh, of Michigan?
Dearborn?
No.
Ann Arbor,
no.
No, wait.
Wait, let me Google.
Funny
it's
name.
Not Detroit.
It
not.
Is Lansing.
Oh!
Lansing, Michigan. Number 3, Grapes of Wrath.
Who is John Steinbeck?
John Steinbeck.
Who is John Steinbeck? Yes. And you know, number 2 is Tropic of Cancer, but I don't know whether it's the latitude or Henry Miller's book.
Are you smarter than
cancer.
A fifth grader? I'm guessing it's not Henry Miller.
Right. Exactly. You never know. Fifth graders are getting smarter all the time. And the number 1 hottest trend on Google Trends is Gulliver's Travels, the Jonathan Swift novel.
I just love that the computer is now the TV helper outer.
Right, exactly. It's the TV helper outer. That's what they should call it. Anyway, those are the Google trends right now.
Brobdingnagian came from Gulliver's Travels.
Yes.
Great word. Rach, International Herald Tribune's got something really interesting about the Olympics and pollution. And
yes,
what do you
this
got?
Is the most emailed, one of the most on the IHT, the title of the story is Olympic teams vie to find ways to deal with Beijing pollution, which kind of speaks for itself. If you've ever been to China, Beijing is really polluted, like really bad. People walk around with masks all the time. So Olympic athletes are thinking, how am I going to compete in this environment? And they're asking their coaches and Olympic officials literally questions like, should I train behind a car with some bad exhaust coming out in order to prepare myself for this? Should I train on the highway during rush hour?
Wouldn't that hurt you in the long term
as
an athlete?
As a human?
Why don't you just start smoking? What the heck?
Needless to say, they don't want them to do this, but they do say as soon as they get off the airplane in Beijing, they should put on one of those masks and not take it off until they have to compete.
Sort of like the sort of performance enhancing, performance de-enhancing, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Allison.
My most is from Yahoo News. It's one of the most viewed, and the title is Spouses Who Fight Live Longer. Now, this is not an excuse to just have a throwdown with your hubby or your wife later on. They're saying the point is that a good argument can help a relationship, but also that you have to fight in a good way and you have to reconcile, because it's burying all of that resentment and anger that it festers and it gets inside of you and it leads to higher stress levels. So it's better in some way to learn how to fight fair, resolve your fighting, because if you just kind of hold it in and do the fine, that could lead to your death.
It seems like a lot to ask.
Fine,
not good for your health.
But I wonder, can you separate like the long-term value of fighting versus like the easy short-term value of fine, forget it, I don't care.
I don't know.
It's hard.
You get peace with one and probably a shorter life as well. But that is on Yahoo News. Of course, we link to all of these stories on our blog, npr.org/Brian Park. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And the music.